Now, I had so much more that I wanted to talk about. I said, there's no way I can finish, so I figured I'd just do it again this week. So, the anointing is not only just to be on a person for the service of what God's called them to do, but the anointing is also to minister in a full congregation, no matter what the size. The anointing is the power of God to minister to a full congregation, no matter what the size. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse number 11 says this: Then the priests left the holy place. All the priests who were present had purified themselves, whether or not they were on duty that day or not. And the Levites, who were musicians, and then he lists who they are, and again, you all know how I like Old Testament names, and all their sons and brothers were dressed in fine linen robes and stood at the east side of the altar playing cymbals, lyres, and harps. They were joined by 120 priests who were playing trumpets. The trumpeters and singers performed together in unison to praise and give thanks to the Lord. Accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments, they raised their voices and praised the Lord with these words: He is good. His faithful love endures forever. At that moment, a thick cloud filled the temple of the Lord. The priests could not continue their service because of the cloud, for the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple of God. Go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse number 1. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Spirit gave them this ability. At that time there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. How can this be? They exclaimed. These people are all from Galilee. Turn over a couple pages to Acts chapter 4, verse 23. As soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to the other believers and told them what the leading priests and elders had said. When they heard the report, all the believers lifted their voices together in prayer to God. O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, you spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David, your servant, saying, Why are the nations so angry? Why did they waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepared for battle. The rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah. In fact, this has happened here in this very city. For Herod, Antipas, Pontius Pilate, the governor, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant, whom you anointed. But everything they did was determined beforehand according to your will. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. All the believers were united in heart and in mind, and they felt that what they owned was not theirs, so they shared everything they had. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great blessing was upon them all. Now, here we just read of three instances where the Holy Spirit manifested in an incredible, unbelievable way. Now, these are not ways that we would just talk about, like, oh, we had a good service today. This is not what we're talking about. Oh, man, I just really felt the presence of God. No, this is not what we're talking about. These are special, really big outpourings of the Holy Spirit here. These were all, I mean, where the glory manifested, the anointing or the power of God manifested so strongly that it affected the atmosphere around them. And not just in a way that people had to believe it. There are people that knew it. Okay? Now, I've said before there is a difference between believing in something and knowing something. Sometimes we have to believe that we're making a change in the atmosphere. This is not one of those cases. These guys all could tell immediately. Look at the outward symbols. The cloud was so thick that people couldn't stand up to minister and fulfill their duties. The other time, people heard people that shouldn't be speaking their language, speaking their language. All right? Then another place, there was an earthquake and the house shook. So these aren't believable things. These are knowable things. All right? These are actually, though, outpourings of the power of God in a ministry setting where people have gathered together. Okay? Every time there was a great demonstration of the power of God in the Word, there are two things that happen. And in all of these that we just read, those two things show up. All right? God moved a lot throughout the Bible in a lot of amazing ways. Make axe heads float, split the Red Sea. Come on, I mean, we could just keep talking about crazy things. Shutting lions' mouth. The fiery furnace. I mean, we could just talk about every kind of thing God moved like this throughout. And he did things for people. But anytime there was a demonstration to the country of Israel or to the people of God as a congregation, these two things always happened. And when these two things happen, we actually see the power of God change from just the power upon me to do something to something, and this is going to be a kind of an appendage to our Christian dictionary. It now becomes the corporate anointing. This is another one that charismatics love this word. Whoa, the corporate anointing was so great. We like to throw that word around like crazy, like it sounds more important. Basically, what that means is my piece of the power of God and your piece of the power of God combined to make a stronger piece of the power of God. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Okay? The two things that will make the corporate anointing happen is this: unity and worship. If God was going to move to bless people, there couldn't be one without the other. Unity and worship. You need to write that down. Put it, anytime you come to church, that should be your motto. This is what I'm going for. Unity and worship. You can't have one without the other and expect the move of God. You can't have the power of God in strong demonstration if you don't have unity and worship. It's just like you can't have, light without darkness. It can't happen. If there's light all the time, then there would be no such thing as darkness. Okay? You can't have good without evil. That's just a fact. I mean, you can't have one without the other. You can't have big unless you have something smaller to compare it to. You can't have a husband unless you have a... I don't care what anybody else tells you. You can't have one without the other. You can't have unity in the church and see God move just on unity alone. You can't just have worship in the church and see God move alone. It has to be both. And listen, and here's the way you can prove that. You can have a group of people come together, and we have churches that are full of them where people are actually in unity, but they don't have any idea what to do when they get there. And nothing's happening. Or you can have people that can't stand the sight of each other, hate each other, but will say, I still love God and I'm going to worship. I don't care if you don't like it. I'm going to get my praise on over here. And guess what? God's not moving in those churches either. Where God is truly moving is when people actually have unity and worship. If all those scriptures we just read, The one in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse number 11 is the verse I really want to focus in on. Then the priests left the holy place. All the priests who were present had purified themselves, whether or not they were on duty that day. And then it goes on to talk about, verse 13, the trumpeters and singers performed together in unison to give praise and thanks to the Lord. Acts chapter 2 also says, verse 1, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Another translation says this, they were all in one accord, in one place. All right? Acts chapter 4, the same thing. They all lifted up their voices together and prayed and worshiped God. So let's just look at these two things. If we're going to have the power of God show up, and the ultimate goal is to have it show up like it did in the Bible. Come on, I haven't been in a service yet where the power of God shook the house and made an earthquake happen, but I'm open to it. I'm scared. I ain't scared. If God's going to make the earth shake, he's going to take care of all the structure and everything. It ain't going to fall down on me. Listen, I haven't been someplace where they were shouting so loud in tongues that people walking down the street heard them saying something in their own language and decided I need to pay attention to it. But I'm open to that. Come on. You know, I haven't been in a place yet where the cloud would literally filled the room so thick and everybody just got pinned to the floor and God ministered to. I haven't seen that yet. And I've been in some good services, but I haven't been in no services where there was an actual cloud. Now, I've heard other people say that I saw in the spirit and saw a cloud. That's great. Praise God. This wasn't seeing in the spirit. This was seeing in the natural that it actually happened. That's what I'm talking about. And so if those are the ultimate goals of that happening, that's where we actually want to end up, where the power of God manifests so strongly. Now, I want to say something extra here. Whenever these unusual outpourings happened like this, people actually walked away like a battery. You remember in the New Testament in Acts where Peter's shadow healed people? That didn't happen until these two instances happened. The Bible talks about Moses being up on the mountain and encompassed by the cloud of God and being in the presence of God like that. And when he came down, he was shining like a battery, like the sun. And they had to put a veil over him because he literally was shining. So this is what happens when we get into the presence of God like that. That's why it's so important to actually aim for that kind of service, because you actually walk out full of power radiating out of you. And it doesn't have to be weird. It doesn't have to be something that you walk out and somebody goes, wow, you just look different. And you go, well, let me tell you, brother. It doesn't have to be like that. But listen, if you walk out of a service, you should be wanting to walk out of a service so full of the power of God that people do notice a difference in you. Why? Because then it opens the door for you to present Jesus, come on somebody, to them. And so let's talk about unity. Let's talk about it, all right? What does the word unity mean, okay? Unity has the ultimate impact on God moving in our services. You can come to church having a bad day. You can come to church having a bad morning. Your kids could be pouring coffee all over each other, writing on the walls. You could be cut off in traffic, and you say a few choice curse words. Come on, don't act like that never happens. You could go and yell at somebody and call them an idiot. You're an idiot, bless God. But you can go through those kind of things and show up for church and still actually have the responsibility of affecting how much God is going to manifest. All right? What does it mean to be in unity? Turn over to Genesis chapter 11. We're going to read the ultimate story of unity. All of these people that we read about in the Old Testament, they were united in desire and purpose. They wanted the same thing and were determined to do whatever it would take to get there. Genesis chapter 11, verse number 1. At one time, all the people of the world spoke the same language and used the same words. As the people migrated to the east, they found a plain in the land of Babylonia and settled there. They began saying to each other, "Let's make bricks and harden them with fire." In this region, bricks were used instead of stone, and tar was used for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let's build a great city for ourselves with a tower that reaches into the sky. This will make us famous and keep us from being scattered all over the world." But the Lord came down and to look at the city and the tower the people were building. Now check this out right here. Verse number 6. "Look," he said, "the people are united, and they all speak the same language." Now here's the part I really wanted you to get right here. "After this, nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them." Now I want you to think about that. This is God talking. This isn't somebody else talking. This isn't a man talking. This is God talking. And God says, now nothing that they want to do will be withheld from them. Nothing. There's nothing that's impossible for them. All right? If we show up at church with the same goal in mind, the same heart, we don't come to do anything else. We don't come to talk about somebody else. We don't come to check in on the gossip. We don't come to pout about those who don't like us. We don't come to judge somebody. We don't come just because we're bored. We don't come together just to cry about the horrible things that are happening in our lives. If we all come to experience the presence of God, we will see the presence of God. Unity means that we come together regardless of how different we are and how much we disagree on things in our lives, how much drama we have going on. It doesn't matter. It means we come together, all of us, wanting to experience the power and presence of God. Unity is a collective hunger of wanting to experience God above everything else that's going on. You know, you ought to come to church with the same goal, that same goal in mind. What goal is that? I want to see God move today. I want to see God move in my church today. I want to see God empower somebody. I want to see God heal the sick. Come on. I want to see the lost get saved. I want to see God do something in my presence. If you come like that, you actually are sharing the same goal, and you're actually causing the power of God to have an atmosphere where he can dwell more. You should have that attitude, okay, that you want to experience God. Now, immediately some people start thinking, well, I don't make that much difference. I don't make that much difference. How can I affect what the Almighty God wants to do? God's going to move either way. It doesn't matter what I do. Some people are actually sitting there thinking, what does that have to do with me? Well, listen, God is affected by how much he can move based on how much we allow him. John chapter 3, verse 34 says, For he is sent by God, he speaks God's words, for God gives him the Spirit without limit. The Father loves his Son and has put everything into his hands. Now, I read that scripture to tell you this. Jesus came to the earth and then got filled with the Spirit and had the Holy Spirit, all of it. He had every bit of it. God just dumped it all on him. He had the Holy Spirit. Again, Christians like to say it this way. He had the Spirit without measure, which means this. It's not like he had a little piece. He had it all. He had everything. He had been poured out, the entire Holy Spirit poured within him, all of God's power poured within him, and yet he was affected at how much he could move. You know, he couldn't just walk around and do everything. There's another scripture in the New Testament that talks about Jesus going, and it says he could not do any mighty works. Not that he wouldn't, but because he couldn't, and then it says he marveled at their unbelief. What happened? There's people there not in unity with him. I don't know about that. Aren't you just the guy I've known for years? Weren't you just a carpenter's son? Unhooked, no unity. All right? But if Jesus had all of the Spirit, we have to understand that we have a part of the Spirit. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says this, because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you're better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given you. Another translation says that God has given to every man the measure of faith. Right? This is part of the Spirit within you, and the intensity of the Spirit increases when you and I get together for the same purpose. Now, I'm going to show you a picture right now. Throw that picture of the Legos up there. We are basically this. We're Lego. We may not look like very much. We may not look like we're actually going to affect the outcome of anything. Go ahead and roll that. Don't worry about the sound. Don't worry about the sound. Thank you. But actually, this is completed without every piece. And I'm at that stage now, parenting, where my 6-year-old, we're giving lives to Legos. I stepped on many of them.
Chugging. Got my chips still, keep chugging. Life for you, the man, together. More or less in line, just keep chugging on, on, on.
And so, anyway, so
every minute flashing my keys on the main street. Chicago, New York, because it's on the same street. A typical city involved in a typical daydream. Hang it up and see what tomorrow brings.
Gather the soft machine. Houston, to go to New Orleans. New York, got the ways and means. Just won't let you be.
All the worship team, they are ready. Listen to me. We are.
Most of the cats that you meet on the street back in true love. Most of the time they're sitting and crying at home. One of these days, they know they gotta get going. Right. Out of the door and down to the street alone.
Chugging, like a dude, a man.
You guys are sitting right. This is Dana and Tyler. All right. Now, I have been given a piece of the anointing. Tyler's been given a piece of the anointing or the power of God, and so is Dana. All right? Now, if we come to church and we all have our own agenda or our own crappy day, and we're all just doing whatever we want to do, Dana takes his over to the side over there and has a gossip session with whoever, and he stands over here and cries about how bad things are for him, and I'm going to come to church and worship God. All right, now watch this. Right now, the only part of the anointing that's manifesting is the part that's in me. Okay? Why? Because my piece is plugging into where it's supposed to plug into. Now, let's just say that I knew Dana was having a bad day, and I come up to him and I'm like, dude, I know things are, you know, going awful for you, but actually, you were the one that were having a bad day. You were gossiping. All right, so gossip. All right, so you're having a bad day, Tyler. I get it. But you know what? And I minister to him real quick. And then I said, but let's go worship God together. And so then we come to service, or we come in here, and we're going to go, and we want to see God move to change these horrible things that are going on in his life and pretty much in a. Now watch this, y'all. Watch this. The anointing just now doubled for service. Okay? Now, if we see what's going on with Dane over here, and he's just kind of here cruising around talking to everybody else, and we go to him and be like, dude, don't you want to see God move? And he says, yeah, I want to see God move. I'm, you know, and really that's probably why he's been talking to everybody else, because he's trying to see where is God really moving here or whatever. And so finally we get him to hook up with us. Now watch what happens here. His piece, my piece, and Tyler's piece, we have now tripled. Come on, somebody. What the anointing was when we first started service. And listen to me. If there was only three of us in service, there's enough anointing or power of God manifesting to the, through the three of us to meet every need we have. Now, sit down. Turn around and look at how many people are sitting in here right now. There's 60 people in here, roughly, 50, 60 people. Listen to me. When we unite, putting our piece of the anointing with the person sitting next to us as anointing, there now becomes enough, come on now, catch this, there is now enough power of God in this room to meet every need here. Listen to me. And listen, there. I can't prove this out by Scripture. I'm going to give my opinion on something. So if you don't like it, fine. You're not going to hurt my feelings. All right. But I believe that's why in some services you go to and miraculous things start happening, but not every sick person there gets healed or every miracle that needs to happen. Listen, I'm thoroughly convinced because there's somebody there that's not hooked up. The anointing has not manifested to the fullest degree that it should. And again, I can't prove that out by Scripture. That's just my opinion on it. Okay, so take it or leave it. I don't care. All right. But if we all are in unity, we're all hooking our piece together, we have now increased the anointing to a place where he starts moving in the unusual. He starts manifesting in the powerful. This is how they started going towards the cloud. This is how we've yet to see an earthquake. But I think we could probably cause a tremor just by getting most of us to hook up. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it just hasn't happened yet. But that is how you affect it. When everybody hooks their piece of the anointing together, there is now enough anointing to meet every need. And the Holy Spirit can now work at 100% in our presence. So, okay, what do we say? All right, we come together. All right, Brent, you've convinced me. I want to come to church and I want to see God move. Now what do I do? All right, if I'm going to worship God, what do I say? How do I do that? What? Do I just sing with the band? I mean, what? All right? And I will do one later on when maybe after the first of the year, we're going to do a real long one on worship. This is going to be the Cliff Notes. Are you ready? When we don't know what to say to somebody, it's because we don't really know them that well. You ever meet somebody for the first time, and it's like you get introduced by somebody, and you kind of stumble around until you find common ground? There's three people shaking their heads at me. All right. You meet somebody for the first time, and it's kind of like, oh, hey, I'm from where, and you're from where, and oh, that's great. Are you into this? No, I'm not really. Oh, okay. How about this weather? And you're fishing all the time. Why? Eventually, though, once you get to know that person, you don't even have to try anymore. And you just walk up, and you're just talking. You don't even, it's not a challenge anymore, it's not hard anymore, you just, blah. And sometimes I believe that when we have problem worshiping God, it's because we don't really know him as well as we put on like we do. That's the first thing we need to understand. We got to get to know God better. I don't care if you've been saved for 50 years, you got to still know God better. I've been in it since I was a little kid. Great. How much better do you know God today than you did yesterday? All right, John 4:24 says this, God is spirit and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. Truth. Well, how do you know what the truth is if you don't know him? Come on, somebody, that's good right there. All right, so what truth? Here's your Cliff Notes right here. Four areas of truth that you can worship God about, and worship means to basically say, I love you because. I give you everything I have in me because. That's what worship is. Number one, the truth about God. What is truth about God? If you can find something true about God, you can worship him for it. How do you know where the truth is found in the Word? So number one, I'm going to worship God because something is true about him. Number two, the truth about you or yourself. What's true about you? And I don't mean what the world says is true. What's the Word say is true about you? I can legitimately go and stand before God and say, God, I thank you that I'm more handsome than six movie stars. And that's just truth. I mean, that's not what I'm talking about. That is not the kind of truth I'm referring to. I'm referring to what the Word says about you as truth. That is the things that you need to worship God for. I worship you, God, because I am more than a conqueror. Come on. I do worship you, God, because all my needs are met according to your riches in glory through Christ. I do worship you, God, because I am the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath. See, it doesn't take you very long to get excited about that, does it? You can, I mean, you start thinking about things that are true about you. I am your workmanship. I have been made to look exactly like you. I am. I mean, you could just start and listen, that's what we worship God for. The next truth is the truth about others. And again, I'm not talking about outward things. You know, have you ever seen that clip of that Southern Baptist preacher that was praying before a NASCAR game or a NASCAR race? And he starts praying, and he's praying, and he's praying, and then he goes, "And Lord, I thank you for my smoking hot, beautiful wife, who have you blessed me with 5 kids. And he starts talking about her. And everybody in the crowd just starts dying laughing, you know. And he said, this is not the kind of things when I say thankful for others. This is not the stuff I'm talking about. But you know what? The things that you can think about yourself that's true, that the Word says, you ought to be worshiping God because it's true for somebody else. Come on. Come on. Lastly, we need to worship God for the truth about the devil. These are four truths that you can just zone right in on. And if you can't think of what those four things are, these are all in the Word. Lord, I thank you and I worship you because Satan is defeated. He's a liar. He can't do anything to me. He can't take anything from me. I mean, you can just start saying it again. You don't take you very long to get excited about it. All right? So those are the four truths. And then I did a whole series on it. Once you get done worshiping God with everything you know that's true about him, yourself, others, and the devil, then Jesus said they will worship him in spirit and in truth. You can just flip it right over and worship God in the spirit. And if we do that together, come on. I don't really know. I don't know what else to say, God, so I'm just going to worship you in my heavenly language right now. And when I do that, listen to me. There are so much other things that's so true about him that we haven't caught up to yet, but our spirit man already knows, and he'll just say them. And what happens when we worship God? Well, we just read it. The power of God starts to manifest. The anointing begins to increase. The anointing starts to show up. And that's how we see the corporate anointing work.